From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good weekend. It wasn't the hottest weekend. It was actually fairly tolerable.
Yeah, Sunday was nice.
After the rain, which we needed, we were outside some Saturday afternoon. And it was pleasant. I mean, not unbelievably humid nor hot. So yeah, hope everybody had a good weekend. That's Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Bill and Dan here in the studio along with Drew at the controls as we welcome you into another day, another week of The Drive. And we're getting closer to a lot of things. The start of football practice is next week. Big Cat weekend. Big Cat is actually this Saturday.
We'll have more detail about that schedule, you suspect, in the next couple of days, right? That's usually, you know, this is the week where, I mean, and we had a pretty good amount of access during spring practice. You know, a lot of it was scheduled during the show, unfortunately. You know, so.
I don't think it's starting until August 3rd, I believe, is the first
practice. Would be next Wednesday.
Yeah, so we probably won't get a schedule until next week.
Monday. Guess. We'll probably... Either Friday or Monday, but most likely Sunday or Monday, we'll get, here's the schedule.
There's usually a head coach media availability around that time.
Usually,
too. The day before or the first day.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a pretty good chance that Hugh Freeze talks to the beat in the next week, a little bit more than a week.
It's about to get rolling.
Yeah, we could have some of that for you, possibly in the coming days.
But before that, Big Cat, and before Big Cat, one of the players scheduled to be visiting this weekend is going to be announcing here in just a couple of days.
Yeah, interesting. DeMarcus Riddick, the linebacker from Chilton County, very, very talented young man, very fast and quick, and will strike you. He is committed to Georgia.
Been committed to Georgia for quite a while.
Yep, since last November, before Hugh Freeze was hired. And he's actually going to announce, I believe, between Auburn and Alabama. And there's a lot of people feeling fairly good about Auburn, I felt all along that it was probably going to be Alabama, but I don't necessarily feel that way. But I still feel like if Auburn wins this battle, this is an upset. Like they have once again beaten
this,
out
this
two
would
of the
be
big
a
rivals.
Huge. This would be a huge right. pickup for Auburn,
and
no
maybe eventually we
it.
Can stop calling these upsets, right? Maybe right. this will be more expected. But right now, this is an upset.
Auburn was the last really to the table. I mean, yep. He committed to Georgia. Alabama jumped all over him. Auburn hadn't made the coaching change yet.
It takes a couple,
or hadn't hired Hugh Freeze.
It takes a couple like this to turn the tide in this sort of thing. You know, pardon the pun. If you're going to start winning more of these, you know, than you've won in the past, right? Kentucky lost to Florida. 30 years, and then they won one, and then they won two, and then suddenly it's not so strange when Kentucky beats Florida in football. And I would think we were talking about Riddick earlier this summer, right? And maybe it was a tip off that there were reports he was telling people he planned on going to Big Cat weekend, and we were like, well, that's an odd thing for a Georgia commit to do, especially if he were to announce to somewhere else a couple of days before Big Cat weekend.
If he were going to stick with Georgia, why would he need to announce again?
Yeah, why renew your vows, right. You know, the last week of July or something like that? No, it's a fair question. And then also, if people think you're coming to Big Cat weekend, are you going to commit to Alabama a couple of days before Big
that
Cat
invitation
weekend?
Might not be there.
I think it would be a somewhat frosty reception he would receive in that situation. So I think that's one that we've been waiting for a couple of weeks now to see what Riddick does, and there are really positive reports, Brian, about what player, whoever ends up with Riddick, what kind of player they're getting.
They're getting a great player, right? He's got pretty good size for a linebacker. It's 6'2", 6'3", around 210, 215, something like that, really quick and fast, and plays physical brand of football, too.
Yeah, a guy that made all kinds of plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and
he's got the right schools after him if you want to recruit a linebacker, right? I mean, this is a guy who's currently committed to Georgia and is going to, you know, might decide between the two major in-state schools here in Alabama in the next couple of days.
Yeah, between him and Joseph Phillips and D'Angelo Barber, that's one heck
that
of
could
a
be
linebacker
a great
class.
Linebacker class.
You know, Joseph is probably your pass rusher. Mm-hmm. D'Angelo is probably your Mike. And I think Riddick could be a great Will.
Yeah,
I mean, just a guy that can fly all over the field, can catch you napping on a blitz, can drop into coverage when you need it. You know, just
it's funny. Now there's some Auburn fans that will cringe when they hear this because of the way things worked out. But I've seen two or three people compare him to Rashawn Evans. Just build, frame, speed, ability, that type thing.
It's not a bad comparison.
No, but I mean, there are Auburn people that are going, oh, God, he went to Alabama. And it's like, no, that's not – the comparison isn't where he's going to wind up. It's the kind of player.
Yeah, and I haven't seen enough of DeMarcus to make that type of comparison. And, of course, you know, when he's at Auburn High School,
Rashawn
played mostly with his hand on the ground, but, you know, that defensive end type outside linebacker position.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Freeze is willing to play young impact players early in their careers, too. If Auburn were to sign linebackers like that, I don't think it would be unless, you know, a lot can change between then and the season, but those are the kind of players that could make an impact, or could have the opportunity to make an impact early in their career. That's also a position where, yeah, we'll see who sticks around and who calls it a career or who decides to try their fortunes elsewhere after the season is over, because that could be a position in flux over the next couple of years at Auburn.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. I mean, that's something going on this week. You would normally think, well, this is going to be, you know, there won't be any news this week because SEC Media Days is done and practice hasn't started. But no, that's not the case at all.
Yeah, and then, of course, on top of that, you've got Big Cat Weekend Saturday. I'm thinking it's going to be around 30 guys. Most of the commitments or all the commitments will be there. You know, about a dozen top 24 guys, another dozen or so top 25 guys. So it should be a really good turnout.
What did you think of – this is the first time we're getting to talk to you since SEC Media Days. What did you think of the performance of Hugh Freeze and the three players he chose to represent Auburn up in Nashville last week?
I think all three did a really good job, which is not surprising at all. I think they're a pick because of their leadership and their buy-in and how they're going to represent Auburn. So I think I think they did well, and I think Hugh Freeze did well, and I think that was important to him.
Anything really strike you as interesting from the pre-huddle, the fact that we got to hear Hugh Freeze answer a couple of questions before he took the stage?
You know, a few things. Mostly, the thing that stood out the most was what he had to say about the roster inherited, which he said was surprisingly not as good as he would expect from an Auburn program, and that it's been a little bit harder to recruit to Auburn than he expected. And that just really goes back to a lot of what we've talked about for the last several years. You know, the roster-wise with Gus's recruiting there at the end and Brian Harsin really being even worse than that and making the roster worse over his 2 years. And then Freeze inheriting a roster that had to be turned over, you know, 50% just over the last 8 months just to be ready to come in here and compete in the SEC.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was pointed out in then how he stressed alignment, because that's something that schools, there's no reason that schools wouldn't use that when it's just given to them, that hey, look at the problems that Auburn has within itself, not getting support from the administration or the athletic director and the head coach or whatever. But I mean, that's why I think Hugh really stressed the alignment that there is now.
It has been used against Auburn, and it's been a problem at Auburn. It's not made up. It has been a big problem.
No, you're absolutely right.
But I think now, more so than maybe the last couple of decades, the head coach, the AD, the president, and the BOT are on the same page and working together in the right way that they should work together, and not people trying to work over each other's head or do their jobs.
I got the sense that he wanted to talk about, you know, the negative recruiting and make his case, you know, as to why he shouldn't have to battle it as much. And so I asked him that question in the small room about recruiting to Auburn and sort of what's been surprising and what are the advantages of recruiting to Auburn versus some of the other places he's coached, and also what are the challenges of recruiting to Auburn right now. And he gave a similar answer in the small room to the one we heard about the reputation and having to battle rumors of things that existed before Hugh Freeze arrived.
Right.
About Auburn. It hasn't been as much about, you know, the rumors nagging him, right? You know, the stuff, the baggage that came with Hugh Freeze. It's been more about Auburn's reputation, according to Hugh Freeze, which is, I think, understandable, especially locally, that impact players and the coaches of major players are going to be nervous about sending their talents to a place in disarray.
Right.
And so, yeah, he's having to sort of fight that and let folks know that Auburn, at least, he's got Auburn going in the right direction and with everybody sort of pushing in the same direction. I was struck by his answer about Brian Battee, which makes me a little bit nervous about, how ready Battee will be for the season and what that will mean as far as, his readiness, because that was a really exciting player. But if he's battling a toe injury, what kind of player is Auburn going to have initially? And Hugh Freeze sounds a little bit apprehensive about that. I guess the other guy was Burton, right? Was the other guy he was I guess, talking about maybe needing to...
No, take Shorter, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Shorter's got the injury.
Shorter have to be careful with, yeah.
And he said Burton could be down the line because he's got a lot of eligibility left and he hasn't played much college football. I don't think that was an injury one.
With Battee, he had surgery, and he said that he's just going to have to fight through it. And I sort of took that as a guy who's coming back from the injury, may still be some pain there, and through the first part of camp, he's just going to have to suffer through it a little bit. But I could be wrong on that. We'll see. But I think the plan for him was just to have him ready to go for the start of the season, right? And depending on what happens with the running back situation, he could be a more important piece than people are expecting.
You hope the toe injury doesn't hold him back, because when you're an undersized home run hitter at running back, like your explosion and your acceleration is so much of it. And I've never had much of that, Bill, but like I imagine.
No,
I imagine it's important to have your toes and your
I felt like things were exploding at times, but no, that's the closest.
I feel like everything in the wheels needs to be operating properly for that sort of thing. So he seemed, speaking of the veteran receivers, he seemed excited about the two guys with 1 year of eligibility left that he added since spring end. That he talked about, Shorter's got a battle. I guess they got to watch what happens with Shorter because he's coming off an injury as well.
He's had several injuries throughout his career that just, they need to be careful.
But Hooks and Shorter seem like guys that Hugh Freeze is counting on to impact immediately at wide receiver.
Absolutely, yes. They need that. That's why they brought in four transfers at wide receiver. And I know as of last week, they're still looking at other options there possibly. So, that's an area that they felt like they needed to upgrade after spring practice for sure.
We're just getting underway. Love for you to join in. Hour number one of The Drive, brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe if you use one of those podcasting platforms, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We will get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
27502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 19 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls. Yeah, we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Or Dan's seen both Oppenheimer and Barbie.
That's right. I made the double feature. I think that it's... I would recommend both movies. Like, let's say, like, I don't know when we're going to have... Too big.
It's hard to. I mean, it's like event. I can't imagine comparing.
Yeah.
The two.
I mean, they're very different. I thought Barbie was charming, and it had a point of view and was more for all ages than maybe people were expecting from a movie adapted from Barbie. Thinking it would maybe be more...
Adapted from a doll.
Yeah. Yes. I think people thought it would maybe be more disposable popcorn fare, and it was a movie with something to say. And then Oppenheimer was, yeah, just, I mean, it's a, I didn't realize how much of Oppenheimer was going to be sort of courtroom drama, you know, and things along the lines of courtroom drama and, and sort of backdoor political wheeling dealing as opposed to, you know, guys. I guess I wasn't sure what to expect other than I knew something.
Yeah, it was about the bomb.
Yeah, I knew there was going to be a rather large explosion. and without spoiling anything, I can tell you there is. But there's also, yeah, a lot about, you know, about the man and investigations into him and some, you know, ethical questions that scientists deal with when they're breaking new ground. Yeah, I thought it was it's a really cool weekend when there's, you know, two sort of event totally unrelated to each other, right? Like just two huge event movies, you know, going on at the same time. And so I would encourage folks to check out one or both if they get the opportunity. But yeah, recommend it. I give them both the thumbs up.
Okay. Yeah, we were planning on going Saturday, and things came up. We weren't able to make it to where we're going to go see Oppenheimer.
I would say try to see. Here's the argument. And Brian, we were talking about this a little bit off the air. I would say Barbie will probably be better enjoyed with a crowd, as a lot of sort of crowd pleasing comedies tend to be, where this is right. Something you might enjoy seeing more early in its theatrical run while there are other people in the audience in big numbers. I was able to see a showing this weekend that was pretty well attended.
Okay.
And then I think Oppenheimer, you know, while I couldn't muster the drive to Buford, Georgia and see it on the 70mm IMAX screen, I would say see it on the
big... Oh, that's where Ken went today.
Is that where he went, probably? Is that no, see it on the big? See it on the biggest screen
possible.
He went
in that direction.
And so, yeah, if you get the chance. If you're in the Atlanta area and it's not too inconvenient, I know the Mall of Georgia, I think it is, in Buford has a 70mm IMAX projector. And so they can show it in this in the intended format for Christopher Nolan. But
well, what of a courtroom drama do I need to see on a 70 on that?
The bomb.
Yeah, I was going to say really. I mean, because if most of it is courtroom settings, I don't need to see that on a gigantic screen.
I wouldn't miss. I mean, yes, much of it is sort of courtroom smaller room drama. But there's also the film.
Yeah, the explosion I would imagine is pretty cool.
And the film also sort of imagines things going on in the head of theoretical scientists, and by depicting that, you know, they had to to push the limits of that sort of stuff. But yeah, see Barbie among the biggest crowd possible, see Oppenheimer on the biggest screen you can would be my recommendation for both films.
All right, there is our movie report from Dan. We ought to do that like every Monday. You generally see a movie
as often as
possible.
With the strikes going on, they may have to be like look back.
Well, that's true. That's true.
90s movie of the week or something could be.
Yeah, I'm worried about some things that I've seen like season one or something of that I've started watching.
Could be a while.
It's like, oh crap! You're going to leave this cliffhanger. It's going to stay there for a long time.
I would suggest if you're starting a new show, make sure it's something where the series finale is already aired, so you can just sort of go. So you know you're going to get resolution, right? Just watch something that's already ended.
Yeah.
You know, go back and fill in the blank. I mean, you know what I've never seen, Bill, that I might watch is Big Love. I've heard some, you know, I realize
I haven't seen it either.
I like Bill Paxton a lot.
Yep.
And he's one of those guys, you know, where every time he shows up in a movie, I'm happy to see it. And I've really never seen, I've seen maybe
my
maybe
wife
a few
my wife
minutes.
Watched it.
Yeah, maybe a few
I,
minutes
I didn't
of
watch
of,
it. Did you ever
big,
watch any of that?
Of Big Love, the Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
HBO drama from a while ago.
A few years back.
I think it's on Max, and I was like, oh, you know, I think maybe I might start that rather than being in limbo with a new show.
Yeah, he had multiple wives.
That's
what it's about.
Yeah, rather than
that is Big Love.
The polygamy drama from a few years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
With Bill Paxton, but that was a and you know what I thought about it the other day because I was listening to our sister station, the Oldie Station, driving back. And they use the Beach Boys song. That's the theme. God Only Knows was the theme.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
God Only Knows was the theme, and that's a great Beach Boys song. So thought about that the other day.
All right, while we're in the entertainment mode, let's talk a little bit. Brian today with his Monday musings, reflecting on the unbelievable career of the late Tony Bennett, who just passed.
Pretty incredible, huh? I mean, started singing as a young kid around
like 13
in Italian restaurants, you know, there in Queens, where he was born and raised, during the Depression, mainly by his mother. Served in World War II on the front lines in France as the infantry drove into Germany. So he is right there in the middle of that, you know, incredible moment in history. And then, you know, after the war, he stays in Europe for a little while singing with the U.S. Army, and then comes back and, of course, has basically a 10-decade career of singing up until, you know, just, 18 months before his death.
Very, very active in the civil rights movement, yep. Which was, I didn't know mm-hmm. as much about that until after he passed away.
Was on the Montgomery to Selma march. I mean, he was right there, part of it. Yep.
Was in the, I'll bend this to sports a little bit. I mean, aside from the fact that he was brought in to do outstanding anthems and renditions of America the Beautiful and God Bless America and things like that, he's also in the Brendan Fraser... Albert Brooks, the Brendan Fraser Albert Brooks film, The Scout.
The Scout. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah. There's a scene in the baseball comedy, The Scout, that features a very funny cameo by Tony Bennett.
I did not know that.
Oh, okay. He's very funny in it. And yeah, he was a big, often spotted at New York sporting events. You know, a guy who, mm-hmm. When he would show up at a Yankees game, it felt like a bigger deal, right? Oh, Tony Bennett's out there. Yeah. Gonna sing a song. So yeah, they sad news of his passing last week.
Yeah, he was 96. And it was amazing. I mean, how popular he stayed into his 90s.
Yeah.
Oh sure, the duets with Lady Gaga, right? Those albums. Yep. Those albums were popular. Very late in his life and well into his career. And yeah, you're right. It's a like what he's someone where you can look back. Unlike when popular, especially recording artists, pass away young, and you think about, they had like this is someone you look back.
The ones that wasn't passed at 27, you wonder, gee, how would they have been doing 70 years later?
Right. Tony Bennett, like, you look at Tony Bennett, you say, what a life, what a life someone like that, you know, got to, what a life he lived, and you can appreciate, you know, so much about it as opposed to, you know, often, especially in rock and roll, right? It's a little bit more tragic, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And with Tony Bennett, yeah, just an incredible life.
Yeah, so Monday Musings today. That was the musical musing today, as Brian does that every Monday. One of the reasons to get AuburnSports.com, get a subscription to AuburnSports.com.
Yeah, and you can check us out online at AuburnSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, or now Threads, at BMattAU.
Oh, you're on Threads now.
I am. Might as well just in case, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
What about you, Dan?
I have been on Threads for a while. I'm new. You know what? I'm not much of an Instagram user. I jumped on Instagram.
I'm not either. That's the problem.
I jumped on Instagram in the last like few months just because I thought other social media sites I've used for a while might go away or change dramatically. And so, yeah, I've posted to Threads occasionally. I might post a review of Oppenheimer on Threads or something. I'm Daniel Allen Peck. On Threads, two L's and an E there. If you check that out, but yeah, I'm gonna try. Brian, you want to resolve to get more active on Threads? We're gonna post.
Yes.
Gonna post a little more. All right, I'm right there with you.
I think I already follow you, don't I?
I think you do. I think you're one of the privileged few.
There you go.
334-321-1390. Let's get to a call before our bottom of the hour break. And Shane is up first. Hey, Shane.
Hey guys, how are y'all today?
Doing pretty well.
Good to hear from you, Shane.
Thanks, guys. I just wanted to give you like a weird Tony Bennett trivia kind of thing. He's actually I'm not sure how old he was, but his
96.
It actually reaches well beyond this century into the future because he was in a few seasons of actually Star Trek. So he. His music is played and I'm not sure when it was set, but like I think it's Star Trek Deep Space Nine. If y'all ever watched any of them, he's a holodeck character set in the future. So like 300 years from now, they're still playing Tony Bennett.
I don't doubt that. Yeah. Don't doubt that at all.
There you go.
Anyway, guys, I thought that was kind of
that's cool. Shane.
His voice is timeless. So anyway, guys, talk to you later.
Appreciate the call. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break.
Whenever sci-fi makes reference to something like that, it's always like, I mean, usually it's a nice gesture by the audience, or sometimes like, they're really still going to be quoting that 500 years from now? Tony Bennett, I'll buy
music,
it.
I can see some music.
It's like an Avatar, somebody in Avatar,
timeless.
Somebody in Avatar says a line from The Wizard of Oz. And it's like, well, Are they still going to know the Wizard of Oz 300 years from now? But
I won't be around to find out, so, I mean, we can just guess.
I'll buy it. I'll say yes. Right.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us. As a matter of fact, come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon, 27 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews. And, yeah, Brian, Dan was asking you about the media days and Auburn's representation and everything up there. You know, we talked about it a little bit beforehand. I mean, but after hearing all the guys up there, especially, boy, if anybody wondered why Elijah McAllister was there, then they didn't pay any attention to media days.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible young man. Just everything he's already accomplished and what he's working to accomplish, whether it's working on his doctorate and being involved in his own foundation and being involved with the Auburn community so much already, just being here for 7 months, I think, now. And, you know, he's a good football player on the field. He's going to be an important part of this defense, too. So Auburn's lucky to have that young man.
Yeah, who was it? Dan, how tall is he?
Yeah, Elijah McAllister, I maintain that if Elijah McAllister and Janai Broome stood back-to-back, maybe Janai's a little bit taller. But, Brian, you got my back here? Like, Elijah McAllister is – he's taller than I realize and power-forward sized.
Yeah, he's big kid.
This is an impressive – yeah, it's an impressive athlete. I think all three of the guys – I've known Luke Deal and Cam Stutz for longer than I've known Elijah McAllister. That was one of the first time I'd ever seen Elijah McAllister in person. But, yeah, I think Auburn brought three guys who, you know, really did a good job representing the locker room and representing – each other and themselves and the program. And in the case of Luke and Cam, you've got some guys that have been through, I mean, they both signed to play for Gus Malzahn, right? I mean, this is, you think about what they've been through. I mean, these are Malzahn recruits that went through the end of the Malzahn tenure and all of the Brian Harsin tenure. And here they are trying to make a mark on Auburn in their final year of eligibility in Hugh Freeze's first year. And so, you know, I thought they both had, you know, they both had good answers and compelling stuff. Luke probably seized the opportunity to go to Nashville as well because he brought his guitar with him. And this is someone who,
I believe,
Luke. There's some video online of Luke performing. I think it was in one of the private ESPN interview rooms where Luke. I think Luke performs an original song on his guitar. And so this is someone who, yeah, I think also the lure of you know, getting to
Nashville, man.
Yeah, getting to juice is kind of, you know, he probably played a gig. After the you know, after media days, probably found somewhere down on
open mic night.
Yeah, probably found somewhere on Broadway and went up there. But yeah, I think he was probably fired up to make an impact for his singer songwriter stuff. But no, I thought all three guys did a really good job and you know, really showed why, like you said, Brian, showed why they were selected in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely, did a terrific job and. Going to be a big part of this team, whether they're starting or whether they're just, you know, working in the rotation.
Yeah.
Coach Freeze gave a long list of other players that he could have named, too, when he was talking about – he was asked about –
Who all did he mention?
Nehemiah Pritchett. He mentioned all the tight ends, basically. Marcus Harris.
Yeah. On offense, I feel like he singled out Tyler Fromm. I'm trying to think if there was another – I mean, maybe some of the offensive linemen. But I feel like his list was more, and he didn't want to leave anybody out, but he definitely mentioned Tyler Fromm as one of the guys.
Keontae Scott and Nehemiah Pritchett defensively.
And Marcus Harris as well, who I believe he talked about the job Marcus Harris has been doing this offseason as well.
And Jason Jones. That was
and Jason Jones. Yep. Yeah, Marcus and Jason in the inter. So there's – and maybe there was another
– Jeremiah Wright.
Was there another offensive lineman? Yeah, Jeremiah Wright, who I believe he said, you know, sort of leads – Jeremiah Wright has his own way of leading.
Yes.
That's not everyone's flavor. And then he mentioned something we speculated about too, specifically in the case of Nehemiah. Yeah, I don't know how excited Nehemiah would have been for this opportunity. He's somebody who he's a little bit shy in mm-hmm. media appearances by his own admission, and you know his teammates will talk about it too. And it's that is a I had the chance to bump into Cam Stutz on his way out, and he talked about how that is, even if they try to get you ready for it, the big room at SEC Media Days
it's got to be overwhelming.
That is a big room, even for guys who have, you know.
They're playing in front of big crowds, but they don't have that many people asking them questions, lined up to ask them questions, even if, you know, the folks are coming into the locker room or whatever.
Sure, but I thought Auburn brought three guys who represented themselves well, and they get Auburn a little bit more excited. Got folks a little bit more excited about the upcoming season. Any surprises, Brian, as far as where Auburn was predicted to finish, or you expected Auburn?
That's exactly where I thought they'd be.
Yeah, right. at or near the bottom.
And I thought they would be. They were sixth, right?
Yeah, and I
thought there's a chance they could be seventh, right? Because I saw some people posting some stuff on social media that, you know, they picked Auburn last. But yeah, I think six is probably where I expected them to be. And
it's,
I think,
understandable.
I think they could finish anywhere from third to sixth.
I think you could make arguments for anybody finish 30. Outside Alabama and LSU, you could make arguments that anybody finishes third through seventh in the West.
I think that's fair. Absolutely.
Three through seven feels like something of a dice roll right now. I did pick Mississippi State to finish last in the division. I felt a little weird about it because they bring back a quarterback like Will Rogers, on top of some other things to like. But there's been, so much has changed about that program since the end of last season. A lot of important pieces have left, and so it just could be a difficult year for Mississippi State, and then. The other team I was Brian, the other team I was struggling to figure out where to place them in the West was A&M. And I guess Ole Miss falls into this category too. Where it's just there's a wide range of possibilities for how this thing could turn out, and everybody's excited about this upcoming season, but someone's gonna have to lose these games. And Texas A&M brings back a lot of stuff that I wasn't crazy about from last year, although they've changed things too. But that's where. Who did you have third? Can I ask after Bama and LSU? Like who's your third?
I did not vote.
Oh, you didn't vote. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think I knew it. Other teams in the league well enough to do it.
Interesting. Gee, I wish some other people. Wouldn't it be nice if people actually who didn't know anything didn't vote?
I can't stand some of the media.
Of course, that sounds like a terrible thing to say. when we're talking about it's your right to be able to vote. Well. When it comes down to some of these like preseason, I don't care about the preseason. That doesn't bother me so much that Vandy got five picks to win the SEC. But there are people who have no clue about a lot of teams or a lot of players that will vote for them.
See, what bothers me is I think the people who make outlandish votes at media days know what they're doing. I'm disappointed in people who write stories about it as though it's news that, Vanderbilt gets five first-place votes, or Vanderbilt gets more first-place votes than school X for the SEC or something like that. To me,
If this were the coaches' poll and it's postseason, it's a story.
Yeah, but it's not.
This is preseason, and it's, people who got media passes.
I said this last year after Vanderbilt got some first place votes. I do think they should probably make this public too. I think that your vote for, and I know some folks would maybe choose not to vote in that situation.
If you're ashamed of your vote or you're embarrassed by your votes, then don't vote.
I'd have no problem making it at the very least the projected order of finish and champion. I'd have no problem making that ballot public afterward. If people want to make outlandish predictions, they can they
own up to them.
Yeah,
I didn't have a problem doing that part of it. It was just picking the All-SEC teams.
Right,
I just didn't feel like I knew that well enough, to make a really intelligent.
That's why a lot of the times the players who are there are the players that are on the that are voted on,
or the ballot looks, or the list looks a lot like Phil Steele's list or Athlon's list or something like that.
Which is probably what I end up having to do, right? Yeah. So
334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise? Here's a question we were bouncing around a little bit last week. All right, of the transfers, since we've talked about how many new players there are on this team, and Peyton Thorne's going to be the first one. But which transfers do you think could have the biggest impact on this team?
Well, just going down the list, Brian Battee at running back, certainly. And if he can stay healthy, I think Jair Shorter can have a big impact because he's that big play guy that Auburn needs in this offense. For you, phrase it's just that if stands stands up there.
How would you? All right, go ahead. We'll go ahead.
Then and I'll probably back the number one guy on offense is Dylan Wade at left tackle. I think he, but besides Peyton Thorne, I think he has the biggest impact. And Auburn could have him for a couple of years. You know, if he doesn't jump to the NFL and. You know, assuming he stays healthy and everything.
Do you think in situations where if Jarquez misses time, do you think Batiste playing more than Alston in that situation? Because those are the two guys where I'm wondering, you know, do they become a 1-2 punch?
I don't know that they're playing the exact same.
Are they? Yeah. Do they have skills that complement one another? You know, is that?
I happen to think Damari Alston's really good. And I think that he steps in and has a great year if for any reason Jarquez cannot go. But I do think that would mean more carries for Battee. I think Battee can run between the tackles and do all sorts of things. He's proven that at South Florida, so he's not a guy that you just have to use as a third down specialty back. You can use him in other ways too. But I still think that that Damari could have a big year and will at some point have a very big year for him. I watched him in the spring and thought, man, this guy's improved so much, and he looks so good. He's going to be really good for Auburn.
I got the tackles. I mean, the center too. So that's Dylan Avery and Gunner.
Yep.
Rivaldo.
Yeah, another one.
Oh yeah,
Rivaldo's maybe maybe for. I mean, Rivaldo, Hooks, and Shorter could be. Those could all be guys who start. Week one for this team. It wouldn't shock you too many. I mean, depending on who's
most of the transfers, I expect to to contribute, if not start. I mean, the only look, you should be starting three offensive linemen,
maybe four, depending on what Muskie.
That's right. I said you should for sure at least be starting three.
Muskie. Yeah, you got to watch out for Muskie, as Hugh Freeze called him.
One tight end, maybe two wide receivers.
Right.
Maybe a running back, depending on how
it
breaks
down. But for sure,
down.
I mean, if he's healthy, he's your top return guy.
Yep. And then maybe, probably a quarterback.
That's a lot of players.
Most of the offense.
Depending on what happens with Jarquez and depending on what happens at guard, I mean, there's a version of this where 10 of Auburn's 11 starters week one are new to the team. And the only holdover is whichever guard between Jeremiah, Cam, Tate Johnson.
Well, I mean, if Connor Lue was to win it,
Connor Lue could be a clean sweep. You could have, there's a starting 11 you could run out there that are 11 guys that weren't on the team at the end of last year, depending on, like you said.
Hard to keep Javarius off the field.
Yeah, although if Hooks and Shorter were your two starters at receiver, I mean, that would be.
He's your slot guy, though. He's your inside guy.
I guess if it were two receivers and a tight end, and you went with, like, right? I mean, if you
They don't have a fullback, so it had to be three receivers.
You got to have
three receivers and a tight end.
You go two tight end, though.
No, you're right. Javarius would probably be your one in the if you went with 11 and three of them were wide receivers. That would probably be, because it would.
But still.
Still. I mean, it's a
lot.
And I don't know if it's going to be five new linemen, because it feels like between, Jeremiah, Tate, or Cam, one of those guys will probably win a guard job. If Connor Lue is one of the top two guards on this team, they're already excited about what it could mean at center. But
all right, we'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
This is Lee County District.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And, all right, what I was thinking about when we got started with the transfers, all right, you talked about all the offensive transfers. There are plenty of defensive transfers as well. I had somebody had asked me, we were talking a little bit about recruiting and we mentioned DeMarcus Riddick a while ago and what a huge addition that could be for Auburn. Auburn adds DeMarcus Riddick. They're really off to an excellent start overall, but especially defensively. Look at the class that Auburn. Yeah, they've already gotten a really good looking class of defensive backs, And this would give them two outstanding linebackers. But the question I was asked is, well, is Auburn in position to bring in any top-notch offensive guys? And I guess the main concern is up front.
Well, I think so. And we should also mention Malik Blockton among the defensive
players.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because you got to have those big guys up front too, right? I'm trying to think. The receiver at Clay Chalkville, he's going to be in this weekend.
Is it Perry?
Yeah.
Is it Perry Thompson?
No. Perry Thompson for Foley.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Perry Thompson, yes. Perry Thompson is certainly one, I think, that could be a part of this class. Up front.
I'm right even when I'm wrong.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, Perry Thompson is the big-time receiver, no question.
Up front, you got that big offensive lineman from California.
Yeah, the number one offensive lineman in the country. Yeah.
He is supposed to be returning for Big Cat, which would be
good,
a very positive sign for Auburn, I would say. So I think they will. The offensive line, you know, they've missed on a couple of guys. But I still feel like if you look at the way they recruit and how they finished last year, that even if they don't, you know, get commitments from four or five offensive linemen in July, that they can still pick up some really good ones if they need to in October, November, December. So I wouldn't get too worried about any position right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, though, because of the transfer portal, I wonder you sort of hesitate, I think, to reach too much sometimes for players.
Yeah.
Unless you really think they have great potential and there's not much chance of them leaving.
Right.
Because that's the thing. You don't want to have somebody who decides, well, I'm not getting to play and I'm going to leave. But then on the other hand, you don't want to have guys that you don't feel like are good enough to waste the time on recruiting and developing.
You really have to have these discussions during recruiting with them.
It's crazy.
If you think an offensive lineman is a developmental guy, you've got to have this discussion with him and his family. Look, we're signing you. We believe that you could have a really great future.
We've got these other guys though that are going to play, and it'd be maybe better for you if you don't waste a full year by just playing a snap here or a snap there, something like that.
Right. So, you know, you need to be prepared to wait two or three years at Auburn, you know, to play. And if that's okay with him and that's the guy they really like, then go for it. If not, maybe you're better off, you know, looking at the transfer portal and finding a guy that was at a group of five a club and just really was overlooked but came on and you know, had a great freshman and sophomore year and can give you still two or three years of eligibility and come in and play right away.
And I will say one of the best things the NCAA has done, one of the best decisions that they have made, and they haven't made that many, that I'll go, wow, that's a good one, is doing away with the 25 initials.
Yeah.
Because of the transfer portal,
it doesn't work anymore.
Now, you just couldn't go with that 25.
Well, what would a coach do if he inherited a situation where his entire team left?
Yeah.
I mean, if you walk into a situation where 45.
If you'd come in like Hugh Freeze last year.
Well, what would this
needing
team look
40
like
players
without the transfer portal right now?
Oh.
Well, they without the
dead last in the SEC West.
Well, hold on.
Probably in the SEC.
Without the transfer portal, a lot of the players would still be here who signed with Auburn out of high school.
So, but again, what would this roster look like?
You're
right.
Well, that's true. I mean, they're probably coming out ahead.
Let's put it this way, though. If the transfer portal had been there and the 25 initials was still in place, Auburn would be in trouble.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Auburn would be in big trouble because they brought in 40-plus players.
No, right. And this is – I mean, we were talking about it when during the previous administration, but, I mean, this is the exact situation we're talking about now where if you're a coach and you walk into a team that had 35, 45, 55 players leave since the end of last season, if that 25-man limit was in place, you'd still be – I mean, it'd be a safety issue as far as whether or not you'd have enough players – on your team to field a team to have a roster.
Absolutely.
That you could take out there. So yeah, I mean once you give immediate eligibility to transfers, to underclassmen transfers, you have to get rid of the 25 or else you could run the risk of a team having a mass exodus and whoever's coaching it, whether it's the previous coach or a new coach, having to, you know, having no real way to restock the roster. So you, are they counting against the 85, right?
Yep. Like that's all you got to worry about now.
I mean, that's
and that's been approved for next year too. They might as well just make it a permanent deal.
It's the right way to do it.
Yep.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in hour number two, which is coming up.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Monday Drive. It's another hot one, but I mean, it is the end of July, Monday afternoon. Hope everybody doing well. And if you're just joining us, it's Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews, the regular Monday grouping here in the studio. Brian, of course, from AuburnSports.com, and Drew, once again, at the controls. Hour number two of The Drive is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. You can join us, and we'd love for you to. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We talked a little in hour number one. I mean, some of the things coming up, I mean, on the schedule this week. Well, I mean, Auburn has Big Cat coming up on Saturday, and it should be an all-star. You know what? I get the feeling, Brian, that folks haven't been as excited about Big Cat since the first one. Remember how excited that first one was?
And really, for a decade or so, it just produced the majority of Auburn's signing class.
Right.
Whether it was commitments coming or the other guys that came uncommitted, it just would every year annually produce some of Auburn's best players in the recruiting class and then on the field. And I think it can have that kind of impact this year too. I think they've done a great job of promoting it, getting the word out, and getting some of their top players committed to coming.
And we also talked in hour number one that DeMarcus Riddick, the highly touted linebacker from it's Clay County, right? No,
Chilton County.
Chilton County. Yep. It's
the Big Peach.
Clayton,
yeah,
is where it is. That's what it is. But yeah, Chilton County is expected to be visiting, and he is going to make what most people feel is his final decision. Right. He's been committed to Georgia for months.
Yep, since November. But he's expected to choose now between Alabama and Auburn. And announced that Wednesday afternoon, his mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of people for a long time thought it was Alabama. And now some other people are thinking, I might just surprise the folks and pick Auburn. So that'll be one to keep a close eye on.
No question about it. We'll talk more about that. But whatever is on your mind sports-wise, let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Jerry is up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey guys, some good info. Enjoyed the show. I know we're losing a lot of defensive backs off this team, that are going to run out of eligibility. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering how many linebackers are we going to lose, like Austin Keys. I don't know how much time he has left.
Austin has 2 years plus the COVID year, so 3 years total.
Yeah, now Larry Nixon.
Larry Nixon is a one-year
different
guy.
Different story.
Cam Riley's a junior, so he'll be back. Wesley Steiner is a senior, so, you know, probably moving on. Eugene Asante, I think he's a junior.
I
got him as a junior.
Well, he that's right. He is a fourth-year junior is what he is. That's right.
We're not depleted. I mean, we have a lot of potential coming back, but it'd be good to add this current linebacker class.
There's no telling. There's no telling how many of those guys, too. If Auburn brought in several highly touted young linebackers, there's no telling how many of those
there could be some movement there.
Yeah, who decide either to call it a career or to continue their careers somewhere else. And I don't want to name any individual in that situation, but I could see an influx of young talent could shake things up in that room.
Well, I hope we get them all.
Oh yeah.
Coaching staff feels the same way. I mean, they're after.
Worry about and things again. Hey, you'll worry about room later.
That's right.
But take as many as you can of the best ones.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Appreciate it, Jerry. 334-321-1390.
Clinton's like halfway between Montgomery and Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like pass through there on the.
Every time you head up 65.
Pass through on the drive up. Yeah.
Yep. Let's get back to the phone, and James is next. Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, James.
Not so much. Hey, I saw where someone claiming to be Riddick's grandmother was on Twitter telling Bama fans to stop attacking her grandson. I was like, that's very interesting that you're already attacking him. He ain't even committed yet.
Yeah, but I think... if Auburn starts winning these recruiting battles, I don't think the fans at Alabama are going to accept it. I think they're going to be really upset and mad about it because they've gotten used to just doing whatever they want in recruiting, and for many times just doing whatever they want on the football field. And that has to change, and I believe it is starting to change under Hugh Freeze.
And with Georgia's success of late, the thought that Alabama, starts to lose ground to another school, I think would be troubling to some of the fans who wonder. How is this team gonna reclaim its place at the very top of college football?
And I don't think this is happening like right now. Like Alabama's falling apart and Auburn's rising. Right to the mountaintop.
Write it on the stories. You guys heard Brian Matthews say it.
But I do think when you look at Alabama, you look at Nick Saban coming to the end of what's been an incredible career, maybe the best college football coach in college football history.
I think I'd take the maybe away.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not trying to take anything away from him at all. And he may end up winning a national championship this year and walking away as. But I still think he's a little vulnerable, right? I don't think he's the same guy he was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. That happens to everybody. I'm not saying he's bad coach somehow or he's not good. Or
if Auburn starts winning some of these recruiting battles you're talking about, Brian, if Auburn starts winning some of these, they're going to come at the expense of somebody.
Right.
Right? And I mean, you think about
it. And it's not coming really. I mean, well, you could say the kid they got from Tuskegee was a guy they beat Georgia for. But I think Auburn's best opportunity is right here in the state and winning some battles that they have not won in, a decade, really. And this would be one of those big ones.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Brian. I think it was the right choice to pick Freeze because he seems as hungry as he ever was, if not more hungry, to prove himself and a second chance at an SEC school. And I think we just caught lightning in a bottle. I mean, we've yet to see the full effect of it, but I just don't believe that this is just a flash in the pan. I think this is really going to turn the tide, as they say. Literally and figuratively. So.
I think it's a great sign. These are the things that has to happen for Auburn to get back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just has to start happening. And, it doesn't mean Auburn's going to win every single battle against Alabama or Georgia in the coming
years. They've got to win some. They've got to win this year.
They've got to win some where people go, dang, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
That's the kind of thing that really starts building your momentum.
And a byproduct of that is that it does probably make Nick Saban's job a little bit more difficult to try to reclaim his spot because some of those players may have ended up at Auburn. People point out, I guess Tuberville would be an example of this, where once Alabama got their ducks in a row, Tommy Tuberville's job became a lot more difficult.
Oh, no question.
I mean, it's completely changed, and he was unable to adapt to it.
Right. And isn't it possible, and I'm not going to say it's the same effect is going to happen, but if Auburn gets their ducks in a row on the recruiting trail, it makes Alabama's job a little bit more difficult to collect all of the players that they've collected over the last 15 years.
334-321-1390, and right back to the phones. as we start off with a full bank. And Sam is up next. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, I was wondering, do you see Auburn winning the West, like, in the next 4 years? Like, what do you see as, like, the potential path for that to happen?
Well, obviously, there won't be a West after this year.
That's right. This is the last year for the West. Yeah.
But being able to contend to play for the SEC is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, personally. Yeah. I think people tend to underrate what Auburn is capable of doing. Auburn has been through a period of so much upheaval, so much issues within the administration and the football program, et cetera, et cetera. And now I feel like they've gotten through that now. And I feel like they've got a coach that understands you have to recruit at the highest level to compete at the highest level. So, yes, I do think within 4 or 5 years, maybe sooner, we'll see, that Auburn is competing at the very top of the SEC.
And I think the transfer portal has allowed you to speed that up a little bit. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I would think that's Hugh Freeze's expectation.
I wonder if it'll be easier to get into the playoff than the SEC championship game over the next couple of
years.
And I feel like Auburn.
Yeah, because only two are going to make the SEC title game.
Exactly.
There's a chance you could have three SEC teams.
I think
at
more.
Least.
So, yeah. I wonder if, you know, I would feel better about the chances of Auburn getting into an expanded college football playoff over the next 4 or 5 seasons. Top two in the regular season of the SEC. Maybe, but I'd be more confident in a playoff appearance than an SEC championship game appearance.
If you look at the 12 playoff spots, right, and you look at the SEC and Big Ten, which are so much better than the other conferences, I mean, my expectation is the SEC Big Ten are getting at least four apiece, somewhere in that. And then the other four are just going to be split up between the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or maybe Notre Dame or whoever
else.
And
that's a big reason why I think we'll see both
or
of
ACC,
those.
I
think
ACC.
Those commissioners will be louder about we should not be guaranteeing spots for anyone. You know, just let the committee pick the 12 best teams.
Right.
And if the 12 best teams happen to be four from the Big Ten and four from the SEC,
maybe it won't be quite that much, but I think it's close.
It could. Yeah. It absolutely. I mean, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State could be three of the 10 best teams.
Then you got USC. You got Wisconsin, of course,
there. You got USC coming to town. Absolutely.
And the SEC is just incredible. You've got, you know, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Florida, Georgia,
Texas,
Tennessee,
Oklahoma.
Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that kind of the things that hurt Freeze in the past will catch back up to him? Like, I don't recall, like, the exact details of what he was accused of, but do you think any of that might pop up again?
Not from his past, no. I mean, he needs to keep it on the straight and narrow.
You can't have anything like that. It was using university phones to call ladies of the evening.
Yeah, and when you when that situation, I think Auburn brings him in understanding, like, there can be, you know, as close to a zero tolerance policy as you could have, where if this thing starts to veer off course, you know, Auburn, to protect itself and to protect its future, you know, would you know, have things written in. But no, and as far as the recruiting stuff, I mean, I don't want to be glib about it, but a lot of what Hugh Freeze got in trouble for on the recruiting trail is not as strongly discouraged anymore. I mean,
not under the current situation we have with NIL.
Maybe it can't be directed from the head coach of a football program, but opportunities are there for recruits and incoming freshmen to earn money in ways that were not there when Hugh Freeze was at Ole Miss, and players receiving benefits and things like that. I wouldn't be as worried about that, because now there are, you know, there are ways that's totally above board.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, great.
Appreciate the call, Sam.
Yeah, good question, Sam.
We'll get to our first break. John, hold on. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
It's Ben from the Abbey Award-winning Auburn Opelika this morning on
Part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, and let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And John's up next. Hey, John.
Hey guys, really enjoying the show. Can't wait till the season. Couple, two to three quick questions. Foy Badunga, I think he's got it down to four schools. Do we have any idea where he may sign? DeMario Tolan, I'm not going to speak about speculation, but is there any opportunity you think he might actually return to Auburn? And then one final thought, I heard you mention Coach Saban earlier. I'm not sure he's been in the SEC where Tennessee, Georgia, and Auburn have all been very strong. So, and I'm wondering, at what point does age become a factor with him? I just don't see him dominating in the future like he has in the past. That's all I really got, guys, if you'd like to comment. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate the call, John. I mean, yeah, Auburn's definitely in a who's who there with Flory Badunga. Kansas, Duke, Michigan, and Auburn are his top four. Everywhere you read, it's like the national people all are fully expecting either Kansas or Duke. But, Auburn's in there.
Yeah,
Auburn's very much in there. Yeah. I don't know that I've seen exactly when he's going to do it, but I think people are feeling it's coming pretty soon.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily like Auburn's chances, but, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, what was his the second question?
It was about Alabama and Nick Saban. I think you can chip away at him. I don't think you can go from 0 to 100, right away. It's kind of a stepladder. You got to build up to it.
He's right, though. I mean, Alabama hasn't been in a league when Tennessee, Auburn, and Georgia right. have all been good at the same time. No.
Right. That makes it tougher on him. But part of the reason for that was because he was taking all those recruits from those schools. And now Georgia stepped up and started taking
sure,
a lot
he
of
had,
guys.
Sure, he had wanted. More than a little to do with Auburn's decline.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, definitely. And if Tennessee and, of course, Georgia's winning most of those battles now, and Auburn and the other schools start winning more of those battles, it's going to make it tougher for Alabama and Nick Saban or whoever comes next to win. So, yeah, I think it does make it tougher on them.
And then DeMario Tolan, I think that if DeMario Tolan – wants to return to Auburn, that could work out. But I mean, right now that's not the main concern.
Yeah, I think it's just family issues with him right now, and we'll just see what happens in the future. But I don't think the door has been closed to him at Auburn or necessarily
anywhere
else.
He wasn't dismissed from the team.
Right.
Impossible to say, but I would probably because it sounds like he's going to be away from the team for the foreseeable future. I would probably say it's not something that we. Like it could be revisited next year, would be what I would sort of expect. Based on what we've heard about the situation right now, I wouldn't expect a scenario where DeMario Tolan, steps in at midseason or something like that and rejoins the team on the field. Like I would think it could be open ended, but probably not something we'll know more about for a while.
I see a story that was written earlier today from a Kansas. Website, Kansas reporter, who said that it's expected that Flory Badunga will, people close to him believe he will make his announcement, select his school before he returns to high school August 2nd. Could make an announcement on the 29th, which would be Saturday.
High school starting next week?
Yes.
Is that what's going on?
Yes. Opelika starts, I believe, on the 3rd. Oh, Auburn wow. City School start on the 8th.
I mean, this was the tax-free weekend, right?
Yes, it was. This past weekend was.
And I mean, that's just.
Schools are about to get started. But anyway, according to this reporter, Badunga visited Kansas in May, Duke in June, but has told people close to him he's not going to take any more official visits. So that would tend to have you thinking Michigan and Auburn longer shots than Kansas or Duke.
Yeah, it has me thinking that way. But
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise?
Yeah, I mean, and there was Brian. There was. I think some folks were waiting to hear if Hugh Freeze would say anything about the quarterbacks of value. At media days, he hasn't actually. I mean, Peyton Thorne hasn't officially practiced with Auburn. He was somebody who joined the team. After spring practice ended, Hugh Freeze did talk about Robbie and Holden Gerner and sort of what he has in the locker room. Gave folks a timeline as to what the quarterback battle could look like and when they want to when they want to start narrowing it down.
He did.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Basically, what he says is it's going to start as a three quarterback race with Holden, Robbie, and Peyton Thorne. And for now, the freshman is just going to have to get some experience and just work up to being able to compete for a spot.
Hank Brown.
Yeah. And then those three
could be used on the scout team a lot this year.
And those three are going to have 10 days, basically, and then he wants to get it down to two. And, you know, I think the expectation is that it'll get down to Peyton and Robbie, but you never know. I think it does say something about Holden that he did enough in the spring to still be in this competition at the start of fall. So that's, you know, good for him. The other thing he mentioned about Robbie was saying that he'd really challenged him to elevate what it means to be the quarterback at Auburn to handle a big-time competition. And then he said, well, all the other quarterbacks need to do it too, but you feel like he was speaking specifically about Robbie. So that's going to be interesting to see how well he handles the competition, whether it's going good for him or not good.
All offseason, it sounds like Hugh Freeze has tried to instill in Robbie that just because you were the quarterback when last season ended doesn't make you you're not inheriting a starting role and you're going to be handed the starting job, or it's assumed that you're the starter. Like the way he's talked about this job, it's been, he's emphasized the competition. There were times when he pointed out the job Holden was doing in the spring and made it seem like Holden was really competing. Like I think trying to avoid allowing Robbie to be comfortable and take for granted that, you know, this is a job that a lot of guys want is something that Hugh Freeze has taken steps to do, and it could lead to Robbie Ashford being the best quarterback on the team.
And
responding to that competition by elevating his game, like you said, to where he can hold off a challenge from someone like Peyton Thorne coming in with nearly 30 starts at Michigan State under his belt in his career. Or it could benefit Robbie down the road.
I do think that Hugh Freeze sees a lot of potential in Robbie. I really do. I think he sees a lot of athletic potential and feels like he needs to push him in other ways to get him better. Right? He's got to improve his passing. We saw that on the field. He's got to become more accurate. But I think in other ways he needed to improve. And I think he feels like he's made a lot of progress there. So I would expect this competition to be a real competition. I still have my opinion on Peyton Thorne. I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion. But I do think it's going to be a legitimate competition. And if Robbie handles this well, you're right, and he doesn't win it, I think he still has a chance to be a part of this offense and find a place in it and possibly be the quarterback for the future here.
Yeah, I wonder how much – I mean, it's impossible to know right now, like how comfortable they'll be with naming a starter before the season starts, if this is a competition that goes into the first game with evaluation, if that's something – because – I mean, you go to Cal in week two. You're playing on the road at a Power 5 program.
I think you want to know who your quarterback is, but, I mean, you don't know if it's a let's see. Brian, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I think they'd love to just know and be able to go after, you know, a couple of weeks of practice, go, here's our guy, and be right.
I do.
And, but I mean, then you've got to get out there against, who is it, Middle? In the opening game, and have it be confirmed.
Right. I think.
Is it UMass?
If I break it down,
that's UMass. That's right. UMass. Yeah, sure is.
If I break it down, you know,
fighting Driscolls.
Yeah. 10 days for a 3-man competition. 10 more days for a 2-man competition, and 10 days to practice and get ready for the first game with your starter.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it something like that. Yeah. I don't know whether Hugh Freeze likes to keep it a question mark going in, even if he's made, you know, even if.
Yeah, you don't know. Some coaches would rather keep it, you know, keep it under wraps and not have the other teams know. I mean, right. If you wanted to do it that way, then you play them both against UMass.
The other some coaches just don't want any distractions whatsoever, and they want to name their quarterback and roll with it. Everybody know with it. So the thing that's different with this is they're two different style quarterbacks.
Oh, completely.
So.
Yeah.
But then again, it's not, you know, it's not like they need to fool UMass necessarily.
There's
right?
There's the value of reps, though, right? Like, you know, getting to actually play, you know, real games against real competition, and whether it's a new quarterback like Peyton Thorne or a quarterback who's going to be quarterbacking a very different looking team like Robbie Ashford, the benefit of getting whoever the starter is as many reps as possible is probably something that they're going to look at too. You know, that first half against UMass is a chance to get whoever you think is going to be playing quarterback for most of the season. That first half against UMass is a chance to give him reps with the team against an opponent.
Oh, yes.
You know, and that's it's your only chance to do that before you go to Cal.
And when you have 40 newcomers plus on your roster, you've got to get these guys into the rotations and get them as much experience as possible. This is a season where you may not see as much substitution, you know, where you have a backup quarterback coming in just because you want the starter working with the new starting offensive line, working with the new receivers,
yeah,
et cetera, to just have them ready for what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's Auburn's fortunate. Auburn's fortunate they've got UMass in the opening game.
Yep.
I mean,
if Auburn were opening at Cal,
I think that would be a whole lot tougher.
Yeah, I think if Auburn
were a whole lot tougher.
If it were a neutral site game against a team that you saw as something of an equal in the Power Five, mm-hmm. if it were a road game like Auburn plays in week two, even a home game against a better opponent, yeah. I think there'd be more pressure to have these questions answered when the season starts and when that first game starts. Yep. Maybe they can use. You know, I don't know how much they're going to use that UMass game to actually evaluate. I mean, I guess we'll find out when we get closer to the start of the season how close the quarterback competition is and how much.
I guess
much.
It all depends on how well the starters play.
Exactly right. And so, you know, but if they my assumption is that Hugh Freeze would like to use that game to let his entrenched starters get some playing time. Just a matter of is he going to have entrenched starters at all these positions, or there's still going to be still going to be stuff to settle.
You know, with so much going on with this team, you feel like there's going to be some things still need to be settled, right? You would hope from their perspective that quarterback is not one of those things, right? Mm-hmm. You want to settle on that, but
I mean, there's enough to be concerned about with so many receivers and who's going to get the opportunity and you know then thus get targets.
Exactly. You got five newcomers at the Jack position, their premier pass rushing position. That may take some time to totally sort out.
You got two D linemen at least in the Marilyn Moe and Keldrick Falk that look like they're going to get a lot of playing time. Oh, Justin Rogers. Sorry, Justin Rogers is going to play too.
And could they come into the season with maybe three offensive guards still competing for two spots?
I believe it. Maybe four. Yeah. Three or four competing for two spots.
That could still be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, if this was Bo Nix's comeback for a 6-year at Auburn, he would probably play maybe the first half against UMass,
assuming everything went well. And it wouldn't be any big deal.
And then they cleared out. Now it's got to be different.
Yep. Yeah. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in. Give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390.
Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Monday afternoon. And let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and I believe it's Clint.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a first-time caller. Hmm. I got someone running by you to see what you think about it.
Sure.
With the SEC expanding to the number of teams it has now, I see the talent being diluted. When you had 10 teams, you had the two divisions and you had the strongest teams. So when your best talent were looking for the SEC, they looked for the best team. Now they've got more teams to look for, and I think over the next 5 years, we're going to see more teams. It's going to be hard to see an undefeated team.
You know, that's one of the arguments for an expanded postseason.
Is that when
the same teams make the playoffs every year, you'll see a concentration of the best talent to those schools. And you've seen that, Brian, back me up.
Yes.
You've seen that as far as the schools that have made the playoffs consistently doing much better in recruiting than everyone else. Yeah. And there's the hope that if you open up the playoff to more teams, you might open up recruiting to maybe a little bit more parity.
And it needs to happen, right? There's no reason for Georgia to sign four or five-star offensive linemen in every single class, you know?
And
I'm sure they love it. It's great for them.
Well, I mean, it was pointed out the other day that, I mean, there were like seven or eight, no, maybe it was 10, five-star offensive linemen over a couple-of-year period, and seven or eight of those had gone to either Alabama, Georgia, or Ohio State.
Right.
Exactly. That only left two or three five-star offensive lineman for the rest of the country.
Yeah, it's just...
Well,
yeah.
you know, we noticed, and again, this isn't exactly about recruiting, we noticed that the SEC first team defense, Brian...
I know.
...is entirely made up of players from Alabama, Georgia, and LSU this year. You have 12 players named to the first team at Media Days last week, all of them from one of those three schools, which I think reflects how those schools, especially Bama and Georgia, have recruited over the last couple
Absolutely
of years
does.
On defense. But yeah, no, Clint, I think you're onto the right track. That should be whether it's more teams in the postseason. I think more teams in the postseason is maybe the top one. But you could see a little bit. You could see things open up as far as who's at the top of college football over the next few years.
Out there that are in the SEC. So those kids who want to go to the SEC, if they don't think they get Georgia or Alabama, they have somewhere else to go. And if we keep playing as well as we have throughout the conference, it's going to be hard to be undefeated. They're going to take turns is what I think. In 5 years, you'll see the schools taking turns. Coaches will change. Records will change. Texas and Oklahoma will make their mark.
I think schedules will get more difficult too, Clint, with the dissolution of division play, right? Like I mean, you look at
Georgia's, they'll get fairer.
They'll get fairer and they'll get tougher. I mean, you add Oklahoma and Texas to the equation, and you get rid of division play, and suddenly, not to just single out Georgia because it's not their fault that the rest of the East has paled in comparison, but one would think Georgia's schedule gets a little bit tougher, and some of the other teams in the SEC might have to face off against the top teams in the league more frequently. So, yeah, I think there's the possibility of all that.
Okay. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, appreciate the call, Clint.
Yeah, don't be a stranger, Clint. Great stuff.
334-321-1390. Anthony. And Anthony is next. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing, Anthony?
Good. How about you guys?
Doing all right. Just a couple of weeks away. You excited?
Oh, yeah, I tell you, I'm about as excited as can get. I've been watching games. Matter of fact, last night I watched the 82 Georgia and Auburn game here at Auburn when they had Herschel.
Oh, yeah.
Great game.
I tell you, I was.
Yeah.
Auburn did a heck of a job on Herschel.
That was a great game.
They did. And I was telling him, I said, you think about it, with Auburn having Bo, that's a mirror image of Herschel. You look in the mirror, I guess you can see each other. So when the defense practices, they practice as Bo wouldn't have even worried about Herschel because you already got Herschel there. But anyway, fellas, Georgia's playing by the same rules as everybody else. They found a formula for winning for right now. But as we get into that 12-team expansion playoff system, that kicks in with the next year or the year after?
Next year.
This is probably your last college football season with four teams making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, so when that kicks in, more teams will be in and more teams have opportunity to win. But if you think about it, now nobody has to go undefeated. You can lose two games and still get in the playoffs, or
right.
Perhaps three, depending on who you're playing, and still get in that thing and still have a chance at winning. So that's the beauty of having a playoff like that. There's no pressure to win them all now.
Oh, I mean, you're going to see. I mean, there's going to be a 10-2 team pretty much every year, starting next year and moving on. There's going to be a 10-2 team not in the SEC championship game because they probably finished third in the conference that's still in the college football playoff.
Oh, that'll be a pretty high seed in the playoff.
It'll be LSU, the LSU seat in the college football playoff every year. Nobody's going to want a piece of that team.
I tell you, I think at least four teams out of the conference will make it, out of Southern Conference, will make it every year, at least. I think it will.
You would have had, I think, using what we understand the format to be right now, I think you would have had Bama, Georgia, LSU, and Tennessee in the college football playoff, in the top 12 last year. Maybe Tennessee had fallen out by the end of the season. I don't know.
They may have still been there. I'll tell you one thing for sure. Auburn would have been there in 2017 after losing the SEC title game. They'd have still been in a 12-team playoff.
Well, a 9-3 Auburn team that beat Alabama in 2019 might have been in discussion, especially having lost only to three really good teams in Bo Nix's first year.
Hey, speaking of Bo Nix, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and put this out here now. I think he's a front runner for winning the Heisman Trophy. Based on how he played last year, he should be better this year because he should know the offense a little bit better out there. Should be a little bit more mature. He didn't graduate, so he ain't got to worry about really that class thing or whatnot. I'm sure he's taking some kind of master's program, but that kind of pressure probably won't be there like it have been in the past. So I'm going to say Bo Nix wins it all Heisman, as far as the Heisman Trophy goes. I think he's the man to beat.
I don't know about him winning it, but I will – I will be shocked if he doesn't put up fabulous numbers this year.
When the reigning Heisman Trophy winner comes back, it's hard not to have him as the favorite, Caleb Williams there at USC.
Yes.
But Bo Nix is as good as anyone else in college football at the quarterback position right now. Like that's where he is. I mean, and he could do everything. He could have a top five season. He could have Oregon in the college football playoff. He could win the Heisman Trophy. Like those things are all possible after the season he just had and what he brings back there in Eugene.
Yeah, you know, we got the guy, last year's winner coming back, but nobody's done that since 75 and Archie Griffin did it. Mm-hmm. That's been almost close to 50 years ago, so I don't think you're going to see that again.
And I think Caleb Williams is also proof that the rule that guys need to play 3 years of college football before going to the NFL is outdated too, because Caleb Williams would have been the first overall pick. I'm not saying every sophomore is ready for the NFL after 2 years of college football. Caleb Williams would have been the first pick in the NFL draft this past, I mean, a couple of months ago. He's got to play another year of college football because the rules say so. But this guy's, I mean, sophomores come around who are ready after 2 years. He might have been ready after 1 year of college football.
But I tell you what, Pat Dyson, Bo could have went out of high school, but the rules weren't allowed. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Auburn was fortunate that was the case.
We've had some folks, I think Harbaugh recently spoke out and said he thought the three-year rule's a little bit outdated. I wonder if that's something that will get closer scrutiny or if you'll see more folks come out and say, yeah, now with freshmen as ready to play as ever before, maybe guys should be able to leave for the NFL after 2 years of college football.
I think you let it stay like it is. I mean, you're only going to have maybe one special guy like that every once in a while. I mean, how often do you see a Bo Jackson or a Herschel Walker type player? Ain't often you even see that. Once in probably a lifetime. Maybe
was Bryce ready a year ago? Did Bryce Young need to play another year of college football before? I mean, I think we see it more often than we used to, where guys after a year or two, you know, seem like, especially a quarterback, or seem like they're ready.
I think
to,
he's talking about a dude that's 6'2", 235, and can run as fast as anybody in the country. We're talking about Bo Jackson.
Oh, sure.
Right.
But I think we're seeing sophomores who could make the jump and sure, go to the NFL more than we
– Bo could have made the jump from high school.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. Time will tell. But, guys, I'm going to holler at y'all later, and we're going to make it do what it do this football season. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate the call, Anthony. Yeah, I mean, Bo threw for 3,600 yards and 29 touchdowns last year. I'm thinking, you know.
I was talking about Bo Jackson.
Talking about Bo Nix.
Right.
I said, you know, maybe not win the Heisman, but I think he's going to put up ridiculous numbers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This year.
It's been great for his career to make this move.
Yeah, I mean, he was his completion percentage was 72% last year.
That doesn't mean you have to hate on him or hate on Auburn. Just be happy for him.
No, right? I think that if he has a strong season this year, there will be louder and louder buzz about his pro prospects.
Get a shot.
I think he could look like, I mean, not just a shot. This is someone who, I mean, with the kind of numbers he's having at Oregon, I mean, this is someone who could be a pretty high draft pick in the 2024 draft.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in. We've got about 15 minutes left. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Plenty of time for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
Inspired by the Bold Bison, Southern Union students blaze new
to be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in, final segment of the drive here on this Monday afternoon with Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews. Again, Brian, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but I mean, even though it is, there's no competition right now, Media Days is done, there's still plenty going on with recruiting, Big Cat, getting ready for the start of practice in just about a week or so.
Yeah, and the dead period ends tonight at midnight, so Auburn can also bring in visitors week leading up.
I didn't
realize
it ended tonight.
Yeah, leading up to, I believe it's the 24th when I looked last, leading up to Big Cat, so I would expect, you know, some players to trickle in here and there over the coming days, and then, you know, sort of be big for recruiting for the next, 6 days or so, 7 days, and then we'll roll right into the start of practice, and then we'll roll right into the start of the season. Here we go again.
Oh yeah,
you made reference earlier in the show to something you'd been hearing about. Do you think there's a chance Auburn adds to this roster at all before before we get going, like in the next 2 weeks?
You mean for this season?
It's still not out of the question.
Okay.
Right. Well, yeah. you're talking someone other than Bobby Travis.
Yeah, I mean Auburn could be in on I mean junior college players or players in the portal right now. I mean Auburn's added late in recent years.
Yes. And
there are thousands of players still in the transfer portal, I guess, that would answer.
What would Auburn be looking for, do you think?
Maybe help at receiver still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Possibly.
I mean, you get the feeling if they thought there was someone, I mean.
Do you think there's anybody that could help you at any position?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Yeah. You've got room.
I mean, relatively low cost, like you said, if you have room. And, I mean, I guess the deadline for that is.
The last day students can add classes. If it came down to it, if there's a great player, you know, that would be odd because you'd be on about the fourth game of the season.
I didn't want you to have to jump out on too big of a limb there, Brian. But I mean, the thought that maybe they might kick the tires on somebody between now and the start of the season if they think there could be.
I'd say it's possible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't totally rule it out. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but I wouldn't rule it out. And when you say Bobby, I get confused because I'm not used to calling him that, but the JUCO defensive tackle.
BJT, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jamar Travis, is it? Wait, no.
Jamison Travis.
Jamison Travis, yes.
And then Sorey's the other one.
Yes. Sorey looks unlikely, going to go to junior college most likely. Travis, the JUCO.
It was like Quintrell Jamison Travis. But I remember when Auburn first started recruiting him, I read a thing or I heard an interview with his junior college coach and he was calling him Bobby.
Well, you called him Bobby the other day. I didn't know who the heck he was talking about. So, Bob, we'll call him Bobby. That's much easier than the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But you felt pretty good about his chances of being here before fall camp starts. So that's great. Auburn needs a little bit more help on that defensive line depth-wise. And he could play defensive end, could play some tackle, is pretty athletic, can make plays behind line of scrimmage. He's a guy that people are not really talking a whole lot of.
He was pretty highly rated junior college defensive lineman.
And he could be impactful this fall. So that could be a big, big addition to this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and Auburn, I mean, Auburn has at least one spot. At least one spot on the 85. And, boy, that's a lot closer than anybody thought it would be right after Coach Freeze got here and so many players were gone.
It really is incredible. And, if you can find somebody out there that you feel like could still make an impact, you're going to go ahead and jump on that.
Especially, you would think it'd be more likely a one-year guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm reluctant to even throw this out there since we got the question, but I guess the other possibility would be that if Auburn got bad news about Jarquez in the next – couple of weeks, maybe the portal being open, like maybe they would think veteran running back,
depth at running back,
like maybe. I mean, that's another thing I would throw out. Like again, not knowing anything that hasn't been
reported about
that situation.
You better have an idea of everybody who's out there and any possibilities. The thing is, something could happen. That is crazy. I hadn't really thought about something like that. But with players in the portal, you could go out and somebody blows out a knee.
In camp.
Next week on first day of conditioning or something. Yeah. And it's like, oh crap, we're one short at this position. That's where you could go into the portal and maybe find somebody that could at least add depth.
It's like the NFL players who get retired by the market, right? It's like they'll show up at practice tomorrow if there's a call for their services, but they otherwise they might not be in the NFL anymore. They feel like a lot of players in the portal. They'd show up tomorrow if there was a phone call.
You got my interest tweaked now. I've got to go back and look at the portal and just see who's in there. So
I think Auburn's okay at running back, regardless of what happens with Jarquez right now. I mean, again, you lose him and then you have an injury, then things get a little tight.
I mean, because you talked about DeMar and we didn't even mention Jeremiah Cobb.
Right, who's maybe the best or second best player in that class and should play right away. I mean, he's really, really good. And he's a young man that's really smart, works his tail off, and can do a lot of different things besides just running the ball. So I would expect him to be able to play right away.
You know, this is going to be a really – and I know we're a little over a week away, but, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting fall camp because there's so many additions since spring.
Yeah.
I mean, especially there at, quarterback and receiver with Peyton Thorne and the receivers that are coming in.
It's crazy how many they've added. Do you remember how? I guess I need to go back and total it, but it's.
I'm thinking it's around 10.
Yeah, it's about half of the group, if I'm not mistaken, that they added. Yeah, and some important positions like quarterback and receiver. I mean, it's you can expect that group to get better and better over the course of fall camp and over the course of the first month of the season, I would hope or think.
Yeah, I mean, you got three receivers and a quarterback and an offensive lineman and, I mean, it's crazy.
An edge rusher and a little linebacker, yep.
Yep. So that's really interesting. And then you add in Jamison Travis, who we're talking about. I mean, it's not a new addition, but he wasn't here in the spring, plus any other of the freshmen that weren't here in the spring. So that's right. A big group.
It is.
Any media availability around Big Cat Weekend? Do you feel like you'll get to talk to some of these guys maybe?
We're going to try to talk to every one of them.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll be over there and try to cover it as tight as we can.
Now, you said like 30. Jason's thinking it's closer to 50.
Right. I think we have 30 kids on our list, but yeah, I would expect it
you're
to
gonna
be
need
bigger.
You're going to need a bigger boat,
yes.
My friend.
Yes.
That's why you have. That's why you have multiple people working it.
It's Shark Week. Yeah, I didn't even realize when I threw that out there. You're a Shark Week guy?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
I don't like kind of the made up ones.
Oh, like, you don't like Meg or those things like that?
But I do find interest in the ones that are more, you know, I guess science or based or whatever, or interesting, learn stuff type.
You ever want one of those cages? You want
to
get one?
I wouldn't
cages?
Be afraid to, but
I might.
It needs to be a sturdy cage.
I'm the one.
You need to have a bigger boat too.
I do go out in the golf. I do go out in the water at the golf when we go. That's like so.
Jaws 2 filmed in Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
That's right.
A lot of folks, you know the
actually closer to Navarre.
Is it Navarre?
Yeah, it was Navarre.
I think they staged like
because I know I was down there.
A lot of it got washed away by the hurricanes, right?
Like you're
they
right.
Used a lot of the locations.
You're absolutely
I think
right.
That, like there was a hotel in Fort Walton that they stayed at that. That was, you know, they used to proudly display.
Yeah, there wasn't much in Navarre at the time.
Yeah, not much
just
there.
Just beach, but mostly. All right, before we get out of here, Brian, once again, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you guys have got going and follow you.
Yeah, they can check us out at auburnsports.com and sign up for a free trial online, or they can follow me on Twitter and now Threads at BMATAU.
All right, Brian, thanks again, man. It's great having you in.
Thanks for having me.
We are out of time here on the Monday Drive.
Should talk to Barrett Salee and Jake Crane tomorrow.
No, I think Jake's, remember?
Oh, that's right. Jake's
on the
En Francais.
Finishing the honeymoon in France.
That's right. Jake's on the Champs Elysees. So we'll talk to Jake when he's back in America. Barrett was a very busy man last weekend. Might have some karaoke stories. Who knows? We can talk to Barrett.
Yeah, I don't know if we can talk about
tomorrow.
Him on the air or everything, but yeah, we'll do that. That's going to wrap it up for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.